guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Wow. Wow. LaPanta, man. I don't think, if I'm LaPanta, I am bathing in champagne after that. That was like, I know he's called playoff games, but was that the most fun, exciting regular season Wild game that you can ever remember? Like, I know there's like 20 years of regular seasons, but right. Have you guys ever felt that just geeked after watching a Wild hockey game, the way that they came back and won that thing last night?
It's been a long time, probably.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah. I'm trying to recall off the top of my head. They did play legitimately a pretty boring, bland style for a long time. Now, the 03 playoffs, to your point, were definitely a different animal, but I would say, yeah, that's right up there. That's top three for regular season comeback endings.
We need to take Declan's temperature here in terms of Wild fever. Last night, after that game was over, Declan tweets, "You son of a bitch, I'm in. Hashtag MN Wild." What is your temperature of Wild fever right now, Declan?
Well, what is? I think a 99.5 is entering low grade fever because I've been zapping my forehead every day for the last 6 months after having COVID in October. And
oh, really?
Yeah, 99.5.
You take your temperature every day?
Just to do it. No, like, you got the little zapper thing. You know, Royce, I think, was saying this too. Yeah. He got one. Like, it's on my shelf by my TV, and I just boop, just zap my head.
But you do it every day.
Just for S and giggles. Yeah, I do it all the time.
That's really sort of weird.
I don't think it's that weird. If you know who
I am. I don't want to know. I don't want to know if I have a fever.
Yeah.
Like, whenever I have to walk into a rest, you ever have to go somewhere and they have to zap you?
Yeah. Every arena
I'm always fearful, like, I was just walking from my car. Did I have a hat on?
Right. No, they zap us. And they zap us at Target Field. They zap us at the X.
But I feel fine, right?
Yeah, I feel
like
fine.
Like, I can feel it if I'm off.
But
maybe it's a Wild fever thermometer.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like 104.5 today for Declan.
I would say if 99.5 is low grade, I mean, I'm in the hundreds here. Like, I'm not in a low grade fever. I'm in the mid tier of a fever right now. Like, I'm not sweating and I'm not seeking hospitalization yet. But I'm in. I'm all in, baby. I'm in.
That was fun.
Maybe this is wrong, but Judd said there's just been a lot of boring systematic hockey throughout the history of this franchise.
What's one time?
And like the first half of the franchise's existence, they had some winning seasons and they made a run, but it was boring systematic Jacques Lemaire hockey, right? It was neutral zone trap and hold opponents under two goals and try to win every game 2-1. And this just feels like there's really no deficit. Like, they could be down 4-0 in the second period. And in the back of your mind, you're like, I don't know. Kaprizov could score a couple goals. Fiala could score a couple goals. And they can come back and win this thing. It feels like this team has more comeback ability than any team I can remember in Wild history. And I don't know if the actual stats would back that up. Maybe they had more comeback wins in previous incarnations. But it kind of feels like, don't change the channel when they're down 4-2 like you would have maybe 5 or 10 years ago with this team.
Kaprizov is, I think, the key right there because he is a superstar. He can do things that people can't do. He scored that tying goal that he scored last night. We will begin to, unfortunately, and we already might be at the point of taking it for granted because it looks so simple. There are a ton of former players on this team who, if they had corralled that puck, would have shot it over the net. Like, that's just a fact.
It's true.
The difference is this.
Palmerville?
Yeah.
Mandela?
There's very...
Palmerville fans, actually. But...
Oh, by the way, this is why, with all due respect, this is why I believe a month ago on this show, on this podcast, I told you guys, LaPanta has to tone down some of his goal calls because the last two last night were where you got to sell out, right?
Yeah, like, can we run that clip again?
Like,
yeah, every goal that he called sounded like the winner. So
this
needs to be a little more escalation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
He scores! They add one here. We're even. Drive, he scores! They score! Fire save, rebound, they score! The thrill does it again! Brodin a shot. He scores! Unbelievable! It's 6-5 Minnesota.
I'm not saying you shouldn't be excited. Like, okay, they scored. That's awesome. But I feel like there has to be a crescendo, right?
Yeah.
Like those last two goals have to be the roof could come off calls. And the goal that like got them within one can be exciting. Oh, hey, they're coming back. But it can't be the same tone as the tying and then certainly winning goal.
Does Judd have the guts to post on scornart.com, Zolgad, LaPanta fails to rise to the moment of the great wild comeback victory?
His problem is he rises to the moment too soon. Well, premature goal elation.
Premature escalation?
Premature goal elation.
Something like that.
It's goal elation. It's premature goal elation.
Judd here, are you a play-by-play announcer having problems with early evacuation of excitement?
Good for you.
Dick
Zolgad here. I know that hockey play-by-play can be a grind, and I know that all goals are exciting, but all goals aren't made the same. That's right. Zolgad here for premature goalation.
Yep. Are any of these games, and I know they've also mixed in some buzzkill losses here, but like as they rack up big wins against good teams, how has your opinion of what this team can do in the playoffs changed over the last month or so? Or do you still think this team is a year away from a legitimate run?
No, I think they have a run in them. There's vulnerability, I believe, with Vegas and Colorado. With Vegas, I think their defense is poor. I think they are very suspect on their blue line. They don't have a lot of depth there. That being said, Rob Lehner, Marc-Andre Fleury, those are two goalies who are two of the best in the league. They might have the best tandem in the league, and they're going to steal a game or two in the playoffs. Like, I'm confident that they will absolutely rise up if their offense is silent enough that they can steal a game, but their defense can leave them out to dry, and that's what happened yesterday. With Colorado, it's the opposite. I think their offense is legit, their blue line is legit, but Grubauer and Dubnyk, funny enough, those two guys are susceptible too. I don't think that they are going to be able to necessarily carry them long-term in the playoffs. I would say Colorado, of the two teams, has the better chance to make a run between Vegas and L.A. Or Las Vegas. But I think the Wild, if they match up with one of these two teams, I think they can absolutely win the series. Especially
What's the matchup right now?
I believe it's Colorado.
Yep.
And it's likely to be Colorado, right?
I think at this point it's a little more like, but there's still so much at play here. The Wild are 2 points out. Colorado has a game in hand, so the Wild can still get home ice advantage in the first round of the series. Like, that's still very much in play.
And Colorado can pass the Golden Knights, and the tiebreaker is so if there's a points tie, the tiebreaker, the first one is regulation wins, which I think the Avs lead in. So the Avs, if they tied the Golden Knights, would beat the Golden Knights, and they'd be first, which would mean the Golden Knights are, in that case, probably second or third. And if the Wild plays the Golden Knights, it's going to be intriguing because, Phil, they've beaten them five consecutive times now. And I can't figure out, like, if the Golden Knights have this playoff run. I don't think that they do. Their defense, like Deck said, is irresponsible. Like, they should be good, and they're not, and I don't know why. But last night, the amount of bad plays in their own zone, and they turned the puck over in the slot a few times. So I'm with Dex. I think the Wild can win a round. I don't know if they can win two. I don't know if they have the requisite depth and skill up front, especially when Rask and, God bless him, Hartman continue to play a ton. But it's a fun team. Here's my biggest difference between the team that drove me to drink at times team, which drives me to drink because I'm just happy about them. The biggest difference to me they're celebratory drinks as opposed to trying to drink to forget the game that I just saw.
Judd here, if you're looking to kick your drinking problem.
Remember, if you have a drinking problem. So the biggest difference to me is a week ago Wednesday, they're up by two on the Blues, and they blow the lead late, and they lose, okay? That would have sent a lot of previous incarnations of the Wild into huge tailspins. Like, I mean, huge tailspins. Like, it would have affected them into the playoffs if they made the playoffs.
Yeah.
They came back on Thursday and didn't play great. They tied it and lost in OT. They came back from two down again on Saturday and didn't play great. And they won. And that game, to me, was sort of the old, we didn't play well, but we've got enough skill to come back. And I don't know if Dex agrees, but I thought last night, down by two, they had actually played well. Like, yeah, they played hard. Talbot didn't have a great first two periods. They certainly had mistakes, but mistakes don't mean that you didn't play a decent game. And with the way that they came back last night, that to me is so outside of anything that previous Wild teams for the past 5 to 8 years were capable of. And that's why that what they did last night is how you win playoff games.
Yeah.
And this team was incapable of that for years. Like, they could come back, but once the playoffs came and it became just a hard game to play and you basically got your ass kicked, the Wild just disappeared. This team didn't do that.
I would also add, and you guys bring this up all the time on Judd's Hockey Show, this top line, when you're just looking at firepower, right? How many series during the, let's just call it the Parisi-Suter original era. Like, I get that we're still in the Parisi-Suter era, but like, yep, this is no longer the Parisi-Suter era. Those guys are in the back seat of the car now. When those guys were in the front seat of the car, how many times did they go into a playoff series and you thought legitimately the Wild bring more firepower or equal firepower at the top if you did a roster by roster comparison as their opponent, as Chicago numerous times, right? Even the series they played against the Blues in Colorado, I mean, you could say that because I believe they played a young MacKinnon in one of those playoff series against Colorado, yep, that they won. But even then it was like Colorado had some top firepower. You could, now I'm not saying that in every series that they would match up in the playoffs against every team they would feel like this, but you could make a case that like they might have the two best guns in any given playoff series, or at least you'd feel like it was a fair, equal fight at the top of the roster.
The Wild's MO going into those Parisi-Suter playoff runs, it wasn't firepower, it was depth. It was depth, depth, depth. We have the depth, we have four lines.
Depth
that
gets
rolls
you to the playoffs. Yes. It's just like the Twins series. Depth will get you to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But depth doesn't win you a game six, a game seven. Nino Niederreiter might score a double overtime goal because hockey's hockey.
Yeah.
But it's not going to get you to the Stanley Cup Finals.
My point to Judd was last night, my main takeaway, and all three of these guys scored yesterday. Kaprizov, Fiala, Joel Eriksson-Ek. And by the way, Kaprizov, 24 goals. Fiala, 20 goals. Joel Eriksson-Ek, 18 goals. Back in the day, it was Parisi and Suter with then the supplemental core of the Granlund, the Coyle, to Nino, to Zucker. They were supposed to rise up, right? They were then supposed to, there would be the complementary pieces to the Koivu, Parisi, Suter, even Eric Staal era. Now, in my opinion, it's Kaprizov, Fiala, Ek, and maybe even loop in Jordan Greenway, Matt Dumba. It's those guys are your core. The supplemental pieces in Parisi, Zuccarello, Bonino, those are your supplemental core. Your core players are these three young studs who are all under the age of 25 and are knocking on the door of 25, 30 goal seasons. That's your new core. And Fiala and Kaprizov have the ability to take over those games. And we saw that yesterday. And that was a team where the Vegas Golden Knights could have buried them. They're up two goals. It's the fifth time the Wild have come back from two goals this season down in the third period. Like that is something that you don't want to put yourself in every night. But they've shown that they can come back, and I think it's why they can absolutely make a run in the playoffs. Absolutely.
This, by the way, based on just point percentage in the standings, this is the best team in Wild history.
Yeah.
This is what's the
I'm
schedule?
Not surprised.
70 games or whatever.
56.
Like they're not going
56. Yeah.
Okay, so they're not going to play the full 80. They're not going to get to play it all out, but point percentage, this is the best regular season team in Wild history.
So to backtrack on your question, Phil. All you need to know is previously when the Wild went into the playoffs, their star player was Parisi and their leader was Koivu. Now your star player is Kaprizov and you've got Spurgeon, who is the captain in name, but in my opinion, Bonino, Cole, Foligno are the key guys. That is a recipe for at least potential playoff success. Parisi being your star was never really that. That's the problem, is that he was a really good player and he really worked his butt off. He did a lot of things well, but I mean, think about the talent there. Like, watch the games and watch. Go back and watch Zach in Zach's prime, and watch Kaprizov now. It's not a contest. Like, it's not close. And so that's where. And by the way, my favorite stat from last night is a stat that paints the picture of the history of this franchise perfectly. Did you guys see Kaprizov got an assist to, I believe he tied the rookie record for assists in a single season, right? Wild history.
Wow.
And who had it? Who was it? Koivu? Was it Koivu? Was it some other young gun that the Wild drafted? Oh, no. Gabby had some assists. I mean, it's got to be a name.
This is so sad.
It's defenseman Filip Kuba.
Oh, Kuba.
Kuba, who was an all-star once. Man. But the point is that my man, summarizes Wild history up till now.
Yeah, this Wild discussion, by the way, unfortunately for the Wild, I think it's going to be a while till they can make tee times.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be a while. It's bad news if they're looking to make tee times. But when they're ready, PXG Minneapolis is a golfer's paradise. And the new Gen 4 golf clubs are here. Drivers, fairways, hybrids, irons, PXG's flagship clubs. They also have the new 0211 golf clubs, the full line of high-performance clubs packed with PXG technology and priced a little bit more within reach. If you just want to look sharp, maybe you're coming off a trip to the Western Conference Finals and you came up just short and you got to play a couple rounds of golf to clear the mind to get ready for a Stanley Cup run next season. Spring and summer apparel is here at PXG Minneapolis in Southdale Center. Find out more at pxg.com/Minneapolis. Well, since you're bringing up names from the past and since the Wild are on the verge of their best regular season point percentage-wise, I figured we should dust off a fun old segment here, boys.
All right.
This is Random Season Recall.
Wow.
And you two guys are on the hot seat right now.
Oh, boy. Okay. We did not know this was coming. We did,
no, you
not,
did not.
No, not prepared at all for this.
Let me find. You're not. Legitimately not.
I know. I'm
not joking. You have no idea what's about to happen. I'm going to give you guys a little appropriate music here. Little Blades of Steel. Okay. So we're going to go back to the first time the Minnesota Wild ever tallied 100 regular season points, which they're not going to get to this year because the season's shortened, but the first time they ever tallied 100 regular season points, the 2006-07 Wild, no peaking.
Okay.
I'm gonna quiz you guys, okay?
All right.
Random season recall. Okay. Who were the three captains on that team that went 48, 26, and 8 and finished second in the NHL's Northwest Division?
All right, Declan, let's do this. 2006-07, so that is the captains. Because Koivu became captain after that. So these are guys that would have rotated the C, right?
There was three of them.
Okay, three guys,
three
Declan.
Guys, huh? Okay.
Three guys who were captain in that season. I mean, this is as forgettable as Wild team as you can possibly
is
get.
It? I mean, it's,
four guys.
Was
there any other
points?
Context? Was there, you just said four guys. You didn't
no,
say
three guys.
Three guys.
Three captains.
Three captains.
Three captains. Three captains. Rolston?
This team was number one. Wow, Rolston's one of them.
Rolston?
This team was number one in the NHL in goal prevention, by the way. Just the way that Jacques Lemaire liked it.
Only you can prevent goals.
I'm going to go with no, he wasn't there. I don't want to even use it. I want to say like Curtis Foster, but I don't.
I'll give you three incorrect guesses, and then okay. I win.
There's got to be a defenseman involved.
Yeah, that's what,
there's
got to
be a defenseman involved. Yeah, Curtis Foster wouldn't have been it. Wait,
Scula.
So who would have been? Oh God, Martin Scula. He was as drove you as crazy as Victor Rask, but he was on the blue line.
I'm trying to think of like the mainstay.
There was a defenseman for sure.
There's got to be a defenseman. Yes. Yeah. So
I love the anguish here.
Willie Mitchell's gone by then.
Oh, no, Willie Mitchell was gone.
Willie Mitchell would have been a perfect one, but he was gone
by
then.
One winger and one defenseman here.
This is before.
One of them is a very prominent. Neither of these two guys were stars. I mean, this team didn't really have stars, period.
No, that's what I was going to say. Thank you very much. One was prominent.
Pascal Dupuis.
A prominent name.
Pascal Dupuis.
Oh, wait.
Nope.
Pavel Dimitra.
No, you guys get. I'll give you one more incorrect guess. And I mean, I win this point.
You're gonna win this point.
we said Rolston was one of them. Koivu was not there yet. A winger and a defenseman.
Do you want? Do you want? Okay, one of them has been prominently on the radio a lot over the last 10 years, 5, 10 years.
Locally or nationally?
Locally.
Walls? Walls was gone.
No, Walls is gone.
Well, then who the hell would it be?
You two puckheads. Come on. This is one of the great early wild teams.
No, this is a garbage team that happened to accumulate 100 points because...
All right. Mark Parrish.
Oh. Okay.
And Keith Carney were the other two.
Oh, God. I wouldn't have gotten that in a million years.
I thought Carney wasn't there until 08. He was in the back of my mind, but I did not think he was there.
You know what's funny? For the first time, you gave us a hint about this, and I don't feel bad for not getting it because I barely remember Parrish being here. Like, barely. Yep. That's right. And they bought him out.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Three goaltenders logged time for the Wild that season. Name them.
All right, Declan. So this is post Rolly and Manny, obviously.
Yeah.
Backstrom, right?
Yep. Backstrom's correct.
Okay. So three goaltenders. Is this
Manny was gone at this point?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm almost positive he's gone. So is this pre-Brizgalov?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Briz didn't come to like 2014.
Okay.
Harding wasn't ready yet. I feel like it would... No, not Theodore. Theodore was a few seasons later.
Come on.
It is funny how obscure
you've got
these
brain,
teams were.
You've got
man.
The brain cells still. Well, I actually don't feel bad about the captain one. That's how obscure these teams were.
I feel like...
Okay, I'm gonna help you guys here. Manny Fernandez,
yeah, Fernandez was there. Yeah.
Oh, he was still there?
He was still there. I thought
he
Manny
was still there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of rough. Give Declan that point, then.
Yeah, I would think Manny was
there. Well, there's still one more.
Well, there's got...
You get the point.
It's got to be someone random. It's got to be... It's going to be like... Well, didn't they have, like, Nabokov? Or, like, they had some random dude for a game.
Now you're just naming random Russian names.
They had Jacques Plan,
Chezelkov, right?
Glenn Hall. They had Jean Malosh. No, they had Donnie Beaupre. I have no idea.
I don't know.
I'm gonna take this point from you guys. Josh Harding played in 7 games.
Oh, you said Josh Harding.
I said he wasn't there yet. I said he wasn't there yet.
You floated past him.
Yeah, I did.
So all right, that is random season.
That was brutal.
Here.
That was a brutal assignment. That was really, really, really bad. What you just did to us.
Yeah, it's not fair.
Ruggles.
This is 06. 7 Wild. Well, can you blame us?
Do we have a guest on the line, by the way?
Yeah, we do. We do have a guest on the line.
I thought I saw that lighting up there. Mm. So, all right, I'll let you guys get your redemption on a different Wild team maybe sometime next week.
Thank you.
But, all right, let's get to our guy here. In fact, Dex, can we play some audio here? Do you have that from...
Yes, I do. I do have that, actually.
Randy in Cottage Grove, how are you today, sir?
Great. Riding high. I'm on an emotional sort of a high. It feels good to be good at what you do, and I am.
Well, just for the audience here, and just so we can give you your proper due, Declan's got the audio here. Last week, Randy in Cottage Grove came on the show as he does every single year, and he did his 7-round Vikings mock. Now, in previous years, he nailed my cues. He's nailed Justin Jefferson. Let's roll the tape here.
Now we go to 90, and Zim's going to get a new toy, as they say. Jadarius Robinson, Florida State, he can really fly off the edge, and he's going to be a fun bookend there for Daniel Hunter. Jadarius Robinson is a great value at 90. I love that pick.
I mean,
Hold on a second, Randy. I'm giving you a round of applause here.
Oh,
that's pretty amazing, man.
Whose voice was that on the radio there?
Jeff.
That was Jeff.
That was me. That's old Randy getting that right.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, I'm giving you credit. Yeah. Old Randy did a great
credit.
Job.
We literally just gave you
we're giving
an
you credit.
There.
We're,
yep. And you know, I was high on that kid. You know, I would have, as you heard there, I would have gone up as high as, you know, kind of the 90, 95 range for him, and they got him late. So good, you know, hat tip to Zim, and you know, as you guys know, I had a lot of different trades and scenarios in my draft you didn't let me kind of delve into, but one of them was trading back out of 14 and getting the lineman later in the first, and I thought that was going to be Tevin Jenkins. Turned out to be a Christian Darrisaw, and he's a stud too.
And in fairness to you, like, there's no way anyone could have known that he'd still be there at 23, right? I mean, what a bunch of idiot teams that passed him.
With Jenkins might have been the pick. I'll tell you that right now. That's based on some good digging and connecting a lot of dots from things I hear from different folks. But you know, the draft, you know, mocking is not. It isn't just throwing darts. You know, a lot of guys like you know, Nick Shea's out there. You know, wanting to get all snug, telling everybody he got the first seven right. Who cares? That's easy. So you didn't let me do my whole draft, but I got those same seven. A lot of people got those seven. You know, so Todd, simmer down a little bit. Like he's got a big head on his shoulders, and he's sort of kind of becoming the little Kuiper Jr., you know, because he wants to think he is, you know, that his stuff don't stink. Well, look, Todd, how'd you do later, huh? You know, Todd, did you? You know, I didn't say Kellen Mond going to us, but you roll back the tape. I said I like him. I just don't think he'll be there. Well, he was there, you know, and I knew they'd take him if he was there. And Todd just kind of takes the easy ones, the low hanging fruit. And you know, Daniel Jeremiah, I looked at your mock. That ain't nothing. You know, that's a nothing mock. You know, and the guy one of my least favorite guys is the plagiarizer Schrager. Schrager the Stealer, Schrager the Plagiarizer. And all these guys, you know, they're looking to guys like me, guys, the real mockers who do it for the exercise of it, for the glory of it. They're always scraping and scrounging for our mocks, trying to stick a little of that into their recipe. Well, I got news for you guys. We're not going to just continue to do this for free forever. You know, and soon enough, we're coming for you. We are coming for you, and we're a community of mockers who take this serious. Like I said, I got 2,000 hours on this thing. That's how you nail. 2,000 hours is how you nail picks.
I feel like today should be a day for you to celebrate your own success. And Randy, instead you come on the show and you drag down people who try as well. I don't know if that's in the spirit of true mocking.
Todd McFake, as I call him, McFake is get off your high horse, Todd. You know, go ahead and peg one in the third, peg one in the fourth. You know, try to go a little deeper than, you know, I got the first seven. Who cares? You know, that's like, you know, going to the kiddie gym and dunking on a fourth grader. You know what he cares about that, Todd. You gotta get with the program and dig a little deeper. Come up with something a little bit more creative, Todd. And that's what
I'm with Randy on this. I think it's more impressive that Randy nailed a mid-round pick to the Vikings than anything that, like, if you're McShay and you're pumping your chest about the first seven picks, I mean, the first two are a given.
Right.
For God's sakes. I mean,
oh, I agree.
I'm with Randy. Randy picked a needle out of a haystack.
He did a great job, but I'm trying to celebrate what he did, not drag down the blogging community.
I think we should do both. I'm fully with Randy here.
I'm fully down with
all right, you guys, you know what? I'm the positive one.
Screw those guys.
I'm the positive one, so that's fine.
I'm pumping my chest. I'm taking the victory lap, as they say. And speaking of victory laps, if you do a little running and get thirsty after it, you might find yourself in need of a cold beverage. And one of the best spots to get it is Newman's Bar in North St. Paul.
Randy, buddy. Yeah, we can't.
Randy,
we can't.
You can't bring sponsors to our show.
Newman's Bar is the oldest bar in the state of
Minnesota.
Hey, Randy. They also have fresh grilled cheeseburgers. A fantastic selection of appetizers.
Randy, like, are you? You better be splitting this with us.
Yeah.
What kind of scratch are you getting from
ice cold beers, including deals on hams and schnapps? Newman's Bar is one of the best places to
schnapps?
Come on a motorcycle.
Sounds terrible,
Randy. Randy, you're gonna
we're gonna get in trouble for this, Randy.
We're getting in trouble.
We have live entertainment.
How long is this read?
Excuse me. I'm sorry, the guys at Newman's. I'm trying to get through it. We have live entertainment 4 nights a week. Great cheeseburger. I said that cheeseburger special as well. They wrote that in here twice. And then
you called them out for the copy. Did you just call out your sponsor?
In the front window, you can see a live bullfrog too. So visit Newman's in North St. Paul. School.
There he goes. And he's gone. Man, we're going to get in trouble.
Hold on.
Alrighty.
That was, I didn't know that was coming.
Yeah. I don't think any of us knew it was coming.
No, I know.
Well, I mean, if he can do it, then I'll tell you what, this Randy mock session was brought to you guys by Federated.
Okay.
That's right. If he can do it, we can do it. Federated Mutual Insurance Company may not have burger specials, and they may not have, what did he say, a bullfrog?
In the front.
In the front?
Yep.
Missed that one. I didn't hear that.
I'm looking at it right now.
I don't
even
know what that means, but
I'm looking at it right now. Pet bullfrog.
Federated does have risk management tools and protection for your business. Find out how Federated can make your business as successful as it can be and give you peace of mind as a business owner by going to federatedinsurance.com. And remember, at Federated, it's our business to protect yours. Nope, never mind. Thought I had a Vikings horn there, but I didn't.
Oh, no.
This bar does have a big ham sign in front of it. I just looked.
Not a hams guy.
NEUMANN'S.
I did love the
Like Dark said with Devani's.
The Hams song, the Hams bear coming out. That's Land of Sky Blue Waters. Great tune.
Oh, from the Land of Sky Blue Waters. Waters.
One of my favorite local bar, and Declan used to, or maybe still does, go to this place. The Hideaway used to be Tug's.
Yes.
And it was the Hideaway. Now they've like rebranded about 10 times.
They're now like a pizza joint.
Love that place down on St. Anthony, Maine.
Okay.
And they used to have a drink on their drink menu called the Gold Collar, and it was literally a can of hams and a shot of wild turkey.
Oh,
it was $5.
Yeah. Great so deal.
Good. Oh, my
great
God. Deal, that sounds like that's a drinking man's drink.
Yes.
And that's a bad meat drink.
Listen, they're not paying me to say that, unlike apparently what Randy just did, which is going to get us all fired.
How long was that script?
I
felt like a script was
wrong. We
got to
talk to that marketing director. We got
longer than it
that
needed
script.
To be.
Yeah.
And then he called out the script being wrong, which I don't think you're supposed to do.
You're not supposed to do that, no.
My sponsor, Federated. What's this script from them?
Wrote that in there twice. But you know what? I got to give the guy props, man. I mean, he's gone from nailing first-round picks. He also nailed the first-round concept, right?
He did.
He told us he had a trade back for an offensive lineman.
He totally nailed it.
Didn't think Darisaw was going to be there. So you all can keep your Mel Kiper mocks, your Todd McShay, Peter Schrager's. We've got Randy Vikes 69, Randy in Cottage Grove, giving us the real intel on this show.
Maybe, perhaps, hopefully, if the bullpen doesn't screw us.
I can't believe you're being negative off last night's game. The first we jump in, just so people know, we jump in here and we're going through our pre-show discussion. All right, we're going to start with Wild. It's very exciting.
It was.
Sounds like Randy and Cottage Grove might be hitting us up today.
I was jacked.
And then we'll get to some Twins, and Judd goes, sounds like Rodgers almost blew it last night, huh?
I was monitoring
Judd Killington.
I was monitoring the game on my second laptop at the X, and the Twins were up comfortably, and everything was fine. And just like that Mariners game 3 weeks back, all of a sudden the bullpen starts to blow it. And I didn't know, because I was engrossed in the Wild game, that Rodgers had come in and given up two more runs and almost blown it.
Rodgers did give up a two-run bomb to Joey Gallo, but last night, the Minnesota Twins, you had Alex Kirilloff once again on base, dirty uniform, just doing everything all over the place. I want to start here with you guys, okay? Defense for a second.
Mm-hmm.
And another reason why our guy Miguel Sano is probably going to be a utility player, like a corner utility guy, bench bat. Alex Kirilloff last night made two low-key great stretching scoops on bang-bang plays at first base. And Sano has shown flashes of that, but just like a natural, two natural scoops that bailed out a couple of bad throws in that game last night.
Yep.
And you had Josh Donaldson making ranging plays and Andrelton Simmons. The Twins' best infield defense is Donaldson, Simmons, Polanco, and Kirilloff. Mm-hmm. And if you wind up putting Sano at first base, I think you're making your defense worse at two positions, because then it would mean you're probably putting Kirilloff in a corner outfield spot where he doesn't have a ton of range, or you're moving like Luis Arraez to second base instead of Polanco, you know, you're just trying to find ways to get Snow in the lineup.
Yes.
So your best offensive lineup and your best defensive lineup involves Alex Kirilloff, I think, at first base.
Your reality is, and I'm sure it's going to be tough for the Snow stands to accept this, the reality is that Kirilloff is your first baseman of the now and the future. And that's that.
Yep.
Just from a lineup construction standpoint, it's true. Let's see. Do I want Kirilloff in left and Sano at first and Arise on the bench? No, I don't. Arise should play. I don't even. The toughest part about this is I don't even think this is that difficult of real life discussion, because what are you? So if you are arguing for Miguel to come back and play, okay, you have, as far as I can tell, two main points to make, and both fall flat. One is, well, he's been an on-base machine. He's walking a lot. I'll go back to what I said before. I don't care. He's not Ricky Henderson. He ain't Vince Coleman, okay? So he's walking a lot. What? Lead him off?
Wow.
He's walking a lot? Like, that's your hill to die on? And then the second point is that, oh, no, hold on a second. I've rethought this. He's not just walking a lot. He's going to get incredibly hot for 2 weeks. When? I don't know. It's just going to happen. But he has to play a lot. No, that's not a good excuse. If you're running a professional baseball team, Alex Kirilloff is your first baseman.
That's like me on Friday or Saturday night saying, you know, I got a stretch in here for the next 2 weeks where I'm going to get really hot. When's it going to happen, Declan? I don't know, but it's going to happen. Yeah. You know, like it's going to, it's something's
like
going to happen.
I like what
something's
you did there.
Something's going to happen.
I like what Declan did there. So I love you, sports son.
Just going to keep going to the bar.
Yeah, I'm just
going to
yell out. What could happen? Like
throwing the vibe out there.
I'm going to hit a bomb eventually, but yeah, I'm going to probably keep striking out, but eventually I'll hit a bomb.
Well, like your choices, I laid these out on Twitter last night and, of course, you know, got called a hot take artist. Like, no, think about it.
Did you again?
Think about it. Okay. Yeah. Think about it. Not by like Twins bloggers. I'm just saying like you got, so Kirilloff is not coming out of the line. Like the guys are going to get days off. I'm saying your A lineup.
Yes.
Includes Alex Kirilloff now going forward. And you can look and say, well, he's only hitting .214 through his first, you know, week and a half or whatever. A lot of that is bad luck. The guy has had some missiles that didn't fall for hits. I mean, when he does make contact, it's extra base hit power. He takes good swings. He got on base three times last night. Well, one was a fielder's choice. Scored three times. Had a great base running play at one point. He's a starter at this point. So if you're looking, all right, Sano's knocking on different doors to get back in the lineup. It ain't going to be Kirilloff's door he walks through. Okay, well, who else? Well, what about, Luis Arraez. You could move Kirilloff to left. And then Luis Arraez goes back to being just sort of a roving utility player. Well, Luis Arraez has a .400 on base percentage right now. I don't want him out of the lineup. He's one of the best on base guys in the league right now. So, I mean, like maybe he sits once in a while like everybody else does, but he's in my daily lineup. He's your leadoff hitter right now, right? Okay. Well, what about Polanco? I guess could you move Arise to second and Polanco becomes a utility guy and Sano at first and Kirilloff in left? Well, now you've made your defense worse at three positions, and Polanco's bat is starting to come around right-handed. He's been hitting some missiles. Last night he gapped one, and so, like, I'm not taking him out right now, especially if it means making my defense worse at three positions. Okay, what about Kepler? I mean, he's kind of been struggling. He had a hit last night. It was a bloop. Could you move him to a bench role and then Kirilloff goes to right? Well, now your defense is worse again at two positions.
Yes.
So the logical move here is Sano becomes your 10th or 11th guy, and he is filling in when guys need off days. So maybe he plays 3 days a week right now. That is the reality. And it's less of a rip on Sano, and it's more of a praise on Kirilloff and a praise on Arise. Like, this is... Now, another counter argument is, well, Jake Cave's a backup, and he's played basically every game. Yeah, because the Twins have had a bunch of injury issues, and so there will be room for more than nine guys to play on a regular basis. I get that. But Sano is not one of your main nine when he comes back later this week.
Yeah, and by the way, I am in no way advocating or condoning Jake Cave playing as much as Jake Cave does. I mean, he came in as a defensive replacement last night and took
took
an angle on a baseball that, like, he went to... he went to the bar and came back, and then he went to the light rail, and then he, like, what are you doing, dude? So I am not condoning that. I disagree vehemently with how much Cave is used. That being said, you're right, and Sano is going to play. I understand that. But to plug him back in at first base and be like, well, it's his position, he's back, I think is a mistake. And I think your most athletic lineup and your best way to play a game that is not hope for a home run baseball, which Kirloff can do, obviously, is to have Kirloff at first base. Like, I really don't think this is tough.
Yep. Kirloff, like, this is very anecdotal, but he just looks like a confident ball player, too. Like, he's
got an approach.
He's calm. He's stoic. He doesn't swing in a ton of bad pitches. Like, he puts, like, Morneau was pointing it out last night on the broadcast, too, that, you know, you rip a dollar bill in half, and that's basically the width of, that's the area of the bat that you get to square a ball up and really hit it on the screws. And he just says, you know, Alex Kirloff is naturally able to do that more often than most guys are. There's just a natural gift there. A lot of guys can swing a bat and put a bat on a ball, but like to swing it and put it exactly where you want on the barrel, that Kirloff has a knack for that. And you're seeing that in the first couple of weeks.
Yeah, he plays pissed off. Like they're trying to get him to lighten up even a little bit, like in a good way. He plays pissed off in a good way, because even they said, I think Rocco Baldelli or Rai said they've tried tickling him because he's just always so serious all the bleeping time.
Very stoic.
Very, very stoic.
Said that. Depew used on Talking Twins Monday the perfect term, old school baseball term, but it describes, and it will describe Kirloff to a T. He is the old school professional hitter. That's what he looks like. Mm-hmm. Like there's no, I hope I go to the plate and get a hit, right? I hope I connect. He has, that swing is so sweet, and he has an approach, and he looks like a guy who was born to hit. And that is not true for most guys, right? Mm-hmm. There's very few guys who look like they were born to hit. He looks like he was born to step into the batter's box.
Yep. Another piece of good news last night for the Twins, Kenta Maeda looks to be back on track. He had one rough inning that he got out of, but he goes 5 1/3. And they took him out at 94 pitches. Like he probably could have grinded through the rest of the inning, but I'm fine with it. 5 1/3, no runs allowed, 8 strikeouts. He had 10 swinging strikes and 18 looking strikes. So just a lot of good breaking, good moving stuff on the edges that was freezing some of those Rangers hitters. That's not exactly a murderer's row lineup, but if he's back on track, and Berríos has been mostly good this season. The only guy that's really been a total train wreck outside of Maeda up until now is Shoemaker. So I feel pretty good about their rotation. Bullpen, still suspect. They definitely have some things that they could trade for at some point. But it kind of looks like this thing is getting back on the tracks, and they're making hay against teams that they should beat here. So, and I include, by the way, the Royals in that mix. The Royals, I know that they're the first-place team in the division. That is not a good baseball team.
And the White Sox got problems.
Yeah, they do.
The White Sox got
Luis Robert out
3 months, right?
Yeah.
Eloy Jimenez and Luis Robert. Jimenez is out for the season.
Yeah.
And Luis Robert's out until, like, August.
And Giolito got a start pushback a couple weeks ago. Like,
did you see who's being criticized for his moves because they really don't make sense? You'll be shocked by this. Tony La Russa.
Hilarious.
I guess, well, I mean, Jerry Reinsdorf, how do you put that team in Tony now in his hands? It makes no sense. Like, that was one of the dumbest, short-sighted things. They're going to have to make a change at some point. Like, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hilarious.
But the Twins,
I don't think he gets fired mid-season, and they're talented enough, and they've got enough pitching. I mean, my God, like, every starter in that rotation is ridiculous. So if they stay, if Carlos Rodon, his former like number 3 overall pick, is finally figuring it out. He got no hitter. So Dylan Cease, Michael Kopech, kind of in and out of the rotation. So they're still talented enough to where they can probably overcome a couple injuries in La Russa to maybe still make the playoffs.
He's taking guys out when he shouldn't be, leaving guys. I mean, this is going to be a disaster there.
Yeah, it's hilarious. It's hilarious.
It
to
is.
Watch,
they so. Deserve it. Hopefully.
Talking Twins discussions every day here on Mackie and Judd, and those discussions powered by our friends at Dennis Kirk. So if you like to ride, Dennis Kirk is here for you. 160,000 parts and accessories in stock. Whether it's a sport bike, Harley, whatever it is, you'll find what you need at DennisKirk.com. Order before 8 p.m. They ship the same day, plus shipping is free for orders over $89. Best in the business, DennisKirk.com. Everything you need for your ride at DennisKirk.com. All right. Good stuff, boys.
Yeah.
A little wild celebration. This is shaping up to maybe be a fun few months. Plus, we get Wolves off-season speculation off of a decent finish here down the stretch. So hopefully the Wild can give us a fun little run. Maybe get us to the Western Conference Finals.
Oh, that would be fun.
That would be delicious. Make it happen.
Have to pull off a first-round upset to make it happen.
Oh, we can do that. See. You can do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sure to check out our daily Vikings conversations on Purple Daily. And if you could, subscribe to our two YouTube channels, Purple Daily and Score North. Just search them up on YouTube and click the subscribe button. We'll give you daily ugly faces in your feed talking about Minnesota sports. And anywhere you find the audio version, too, you can always carry us around with you, Mackie and Judd and Purple Daily. You've helped us set new records for Score North downloads and consumption the last couple months, and we're very grateful. So we'll see you guys tomorrow for Write That Down and an accountability session.